Hi, McCartney fans, and welcome to episode 126 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo career of Paul McCartney. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi, and you may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk. And I am joined by my partner in crime, my backwards traveler, Andy Nichols. Andy, what is going on, my friend?
Good evening, Mr. Hunyadi. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Doing well. Just ready to.
Good to hear. Get a kick around, episode 126 and talk about what the hell's going on with all these other projects.
There's some a bunch of stuff announced, kicked around over the last 2 years, and where what's going on with these projects. So this is more like a speculating type episode where we just we'll talk about these topics and see what we come up with. And if you guys have any knowledge about any of these projects, please let us know, because these were all things that were documented, whether on news sites or on Paul McCartney, or whatnot. And we would like to
Well,
see some of this released,
and one thing that we can probably chalk a lot of all this up to is obviously the pandemic halting whatever so a lot of these are. So,
Absolutely. Absolutely.
we know that goes without saying, but obviously, had the pandemic not happened, you wonder what the release schedule was for a lot of these projects. And we're going to talk about a lot of them. And before the pandemic, there was a lot of really stuff there in the fire that was going being planned.
So there's really no news to talk about at the moment, except for the Sliding was the latest song released from the McCartney 3 Reimagined. Don't know if you heard it yet, but I tell you, so far I've not really been that impressed
No.
with the songs. I was really disappointed that we didn't that it wasn't Beck that was singing on Find My Way.
Oh, he wasn't even singing on that song? So who
I mean,
was?
he was singing along, but you hear Paul more than you hear Beck,
Oh.
which is a little disappointing. The Kiss of Venus, I mean, that was fine, it was okay, didn't really do anything for me. And then now the Sliding, it just sounds like he just sped it up.
Who's on that song?
But
Sliding.
the Sliding, I
Yeah.
don't even remember the name. I was just so disappointed with
Yeah, my suspicions held true on that one, and I will,
Right.
that one can stay out of my collection.
Right. Well, I am kind of glad that I've only got one copy.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is McCartney. I do want to support him, by buying a copy and keep the physical media thing going. But I mean, it's gonna go going anyways.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what we can touch upon. I guess now that Ram Half Speed is officially a Record Store Day release now too. It's not just a it's on the
Oh,
record it's
is
on
it?
the it's on the Record Store Day website for June and July, because there's two drops this year, and
Right.
it's on that list. So it I mean, obviously, I happen to just glance, that's already sold out. It's on
Right.
it's sold out on McCartney's site, You Discover. And I forget the third vendor, but it's already sold out. But I guess if you go to Record Store Day, to your local brick and mortar store, they might have a few limited copies. I forget. I don't know if it's part of the June Record Store Day or the July. I forget, but
Interesting.
it is on the list. I did see it, and there's a lot of good.
Okay.
Really, there's a lot of good. There are some good releases this year.
Yeah, this was like the first year where there wasn't anything that really that I thought, oh, this was a must have.
Really?
But I was kind of shocked. I mean, there was a Prince one that I thought, okay, looked cool, and there was a John Coltrane one too. But other than that, I mean, there was nothing that was really, mind blowing for me.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are you still going to go and get up at 2 in the morning and go? Because I there's stuff I want, and if you if the psycho that you are that goes every freaking year at 2 a.m. and I'll like Venmo you, whatever.
I get that, but it just depends on if my wife wants anything really bad. I know my wife is a big Cat Stevens fan, and there's that Harold and Maude soundtrack he did.
Did you guys get that? Kind of, he did another version of Atifa the Tillerman, all like
redone. Didn't get that.
I didn't even realize. I saw that in the record store a few months ago. I didn't realize he redid the whole album.
Yep.
You know, that's my favorite Cat Stevens album. I wonder how.
It's a classic. Yeah, good stuff on there.
Yeah, I wonder how that one sounds. But interesting. Yeah, so if you go, let me know.
I will let you know.
Thank you, because there's quite a few things I'd like this year.
Of course, yeah. There's a Who, right?
There is. Yeah, there's the Face Dances is getting a 40th anniversary. There's a few things on there. There's so we'll see. But it's broken over 2 months because
right.
Why? Why is that done?
Yeah, why? I don't know. Summertime, maybe they feel that there won't be much coronavirus to deal with, the possibility of that, hotter weather. I'm sure there'll still be a Black Friday record store
in November.
Day.
Yeah,
a lot yeah, of people, November.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a Dylan single dropping also as well on there. So there's a lot of good stuff for me, and I haven't seen stuff for years. So.
Gotcha.
There it is. It wouldn't be a two-leg show without that ring, not Apple piece of crap ringing.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, he of the green text, people in TV land. That's Tom.
Yes. The phone never stops over here in my world. But anyways, let's chat about some of these things some of these projects that haven't seen the light of day yet. And the one that I found really interesting back in May of 19, where Paul was quoted on this project and said that it could happen. And this was the Soundcheck album.
Now, where was this reported? Because I don't remember hearing anything about a Soundcheck album. Where was that reported?
Yeah, no, this was reported back in 19. I mean, Paul was even quoted on this. I mean, you can just Google Soundcheck and Paul McCartney Soundcheck album, and you'll get right. You know, you'll get right to that, where he was talking that we had all of this stuff that we've accumulated over the last 20 years, you know, 18 years since they've been touring with this band, since he's been touring with this band. And you got all this crazy stuff that he has never performed live.
Like India, obviously.
Yeah, right. You know,
India Celebration. And, there's some good stuff.
Right. Yeah. So why not? You know, release that. You know, I don't know how you would go about releasing something like that. It's just, you know, just, I mean, and plus it would just be a drop. I mean, it's just, it's not like any money is going to get put into this, you know.
It's stuff that's already been pre-recorded. It's a compilation. You could even, I mean, you don't even have to do it physically. He could just do a digital drop, like what they do with some of these iTunes.
It would almost be like a cold cuts in situation in a way where the stuff is already done.
It's already done.
You know, all you got to do is just, release it, really.
That would be nice, but it would really nice to be if it was like kind of a career spanning sound check thing, you know, going back to the 80s and 90s band, because there are lots of, and we got some of that stuff released on the live albums.
Paul's live,
kind of ton of stuff on Tripping, but I mean, there was ton of stuff that he's done in sound checks. It would be nice if it was a little more career spanning as opposed to what he's done with these guys. But I totally, when you kicked this idea to me in an email, thinking about, I said sound check album, it just must have missed my radar, but that's a cool concept. And it would be nice to have an album of sound check songs. Why not? Something new.
Right. Something new. Exactly. So now, I mean, I wonder if with the pandemic, excuse me, that, you know, him working on McCartney 3, that project just got put on the shelf.
Probably.
You know, because something else that we'll talk about a little later on, which was, you know, flooding the market with McCartney, it would have been cool if this was released, you know, during that tour last year that got canceled, you know, the May, June tour that should have happened.
Something just to, just to get it out there, because really, right. what work would it have taken to put together something that tracks that have already been
it's
recorded?
It's a budget release, they call it, I think.
Yeah, budget release, drop it like in June. I mean, he still could have been obviously, you know, head into McCartney 3 recording, just drop a thing in the middle, because artists did that last year in the middle of stuff going on.
Right.
Drop, release something, just get something out there just to break it up, and because the world is shut down. You know, right. you and I would have went live the day it came out and talked about it, I'm sure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, at the height of the pandemic, we got to Fleming Pie Box, you know, in July.
But that was already in the works, though.
Right. But again, this goes into this is going to go into our flooding conversation later.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, I guess it was already in the works, but still. I mean, it wouldn't have taken much to just, you know, come on, call up his people, drop this thing and get it out, you know?
Well, it makes more sense to release it with the tour. You know what I mean? I don't think it would have made much sense to release it during a pandemic, was because, you know, obviously we got McCartney 3. So then there would really be no reason to release a soundcheck album.
True. On that similar note, I'm going to pose a question to you. Do you think we have seen the last of live album releases from Paul McCartney? I think that ship has sailed.
I think, I don't see another live album from Paul ever. I do see the soundcheck thing coming out because of the fact that, you know, it'll probably have stuff, you know, from the early, you know, 2000s when his voice is still, you know, somewhat McCartney-esque, you know what I mean? Because his voice now, you know, it has a lot of, you know, wear and tear on it, you know, over the second half of the last 20 years.
Sure.
You know, where that 10, first 20, 20, the first 10, yeah, the first 10 years, you know, his voice was still sounding really good.
Yeah, you still, you know, the 04 tour, the 03, 4, 5 tours,
right,
you know,
very
strong. But then the second half of the decade, from 10 to 20, starts to... Right. Wayne a little bit. I mean, again, what about a career spanning like live box set, you know?
Who wouldn't love that? I think that would be a fun release. That would be, you know, I mean, I think, you know, Paul McCartney, I mean,
you know, but do it like in two or three CDs, take two or three, you know, early Wings tour songs,
right?
Like Wings Over America songs, like all career spanning live box from 72 till whatever, 20 right. or 19.
You know? No, other acts have done this, haven't they? I mean, I know the Stones are releasing live stuff nonstop. They've been releasing a lot of live stuff recently.
A lot. The Who have done this for 20 years. I mean, you know, you could go get a show that you saw that night and do it. But a career-spanning thing, you know, he's very good at releasing like, hey, this is what I'm doing now. Here's a live document of that. But like a career He likes to compartmentalize.
Right.
What he's doing and like talking about like his old overview of a live aspect. That would be such an amazing.
I think it'd be cool if he did like one CD per tour, like, you know, put a CD on the 72 tour, you know, the University tour, do a CD of the Wings Over Europe tour, do a CD of the 76 tour, you know what I mean? And then, you know, and then 79 tour, you know what I mean? So if that means it's good, that's an 8 or 9 CD, you know, box set. I mean, it's doable. I mean, this stuff is in the can, right? I mean,
look at what Elton just did with the Jewel set. That was 8 right. CDs. So, I mean,
right.
It's doable. Right. But it would be nice, but kind of just off a tangent of the sound check thing. But it would be nice to see these things come out. And the sound check thing, you get a chance to bring a lot of songs that probably a lot of people don't even know.
Right.
To the forefront, which is always kind of the name of the game, to get people exposed to these songs.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. You know, to some of those songs that you were talking about that people don't realize that he'd done live during sound checks. You know, I mean, that would be really cool to have that.
You know, we don't need Sea Moon on that thing because God knows we have enough covers of Sea Moon as sound checks.
He loves to do Sea Moon during sound check.
Loves that freaking Sea Moon during a sound check.
Yeah.
Damn.
I'll take a live Sea Moon. I'm fine with that. You know,
but lots whatever. Of always lots of covers. 20 Flight Rock, Cracking Up,
Midnight Special.
Yeah, I tell you what, one of the best Soundcheck songs, which was an original song, which it was only on Paul's Live, was That a Fine Day. I love that song. I don't know how you feel about that.
But no, but
I was like, I don't like it. I was like, that song sucks.
But the thing is fine. I mean, if release it. I mean, if that's the only way you're gonna have it, then release it. You know.
Yeah, and I love that too. On the back of the Paul is Live, about the Soundcheck songs, it says,
right.
People critical of a suitable disposition may not like find these songs appropriate, or something like that. It says, yeah. Mm. Let me see what it says here. Sound Paul is Live. Yeah, little disclaimer. Yeah. For tracks 22 and 24, which are sound checks, right? Hotel in Benidorm and A Fine Day. Warning, okay? Tracks 22 and 24 were improvised at sound check and therefore may not be suitable for people of a critical disposition. Mm. So it's a nice little, you know,
right.
Giving everybody.
You're the little finger.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
But McCartney's got a ton of sound. Why he's felt inclined to include them on live albums is always a weird one. Like, make a separate thing, like you're saying.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we'll keep our eye open on that one. Let's move on to the next. The next one would be, okay, the musical production of It's a Wonderful Life. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. And then the question I have is whether or not he's going to release that stuff with his own vocals. The songs that were written for that.
Refresh my memory now.
So this is okay. It's a musical version of It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay.
So he was asked to write the music, you know, songs for this musical. I think he did get a co-writer. His name is escaping me at the moment, but he was commissioned to do this musical. He met with the director, Pete, the heads of the production, and agreed to do this. So it would be interesting to see if he ends up releasing an album of his vocals for these songs, or will it just get released with the cast members?
Right. Will it be a Paul version or just the cast?
Right. Right. Because you've got that throughout, you know, the history of Broadway musicals, you know, releasing their version. And then you'd have like a soundtrack version, you know, Fiddler on the Roof, you know, there was probably a Broadway version. And then
sure.
You had the theatrical.
The theatrical yeah, version. Right. So right. Here you go there, partner. It says, for his adaptation of It's a Wonderful Life, McCartney's collaborating with celebrated writer Lee Hall, who worked on Billy Elliot and Rocket Man. So
right.
There you go. Yeah. On the lyrics, with Hall also writing the book. So that's who he's collaborating it on. So,
right.
I'd be nice to I listen, who wouldn't take a Paul version of doing that? That would be cool.
Yeah, you know, and It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, it's a very well-known film. Frank Capra. I mean, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but
of course I have. Come on, who are you talking to here?
I don't know. Anyways, but whatever.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I know, right?
Come on.
But it would be interesting if, you know, to see how this turns out and if, you know, we get a version of his.
Obviously. Yeah. I would, that would be very cool.
Would it take away from that production? You know, that.
Yeah. I think it probably would just be the cast doing it, you know. Mm-hmm. If he was doing it, it would kind of reek of a little Kisses on the Bottom 2.0 a little bit.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
But it's all original music. I mean,
right.
So that's the cool thing about it.
And of course, that's
right.
Right. And that's why I think he would do his own version, because it's all original music.
And maybe he does demos to show these artists, hey, this is how it's supposed to go.
Right. No. And I would definitely think that's a definite possibility.
Right.
Absolutely. That he's doing his own demos. He's probably recorded. I know they was talking. I think he, during the promotional stuff for McCartney 3, he talked about how he had to finish some stuff for this production. So I would imagine that he was doing demos or even full takes, you know, finish a song, you know, to give them.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing that like all this news was all kind of, kind of either came out a year ago or pre-pandemic, and now it's all kind of just a blur. It's all a blur now. Like, but that was in the works, or it was a year ago. It's just all everything, all these projects that Tom and I are going to talk about. It's like, well, you know, what's gone on with them?
Right.
You know, but hey, listen, McCartney keeps churning out that product.
He does. He does. It's pretty amazing. Next up, another crazy thing. I mean, it's not crazy, but we're going to get into animated feature here. High in the Clouds.
Yes.
Now this was in production, I think, since 2015. And then last year it was announced that it was going to be late last year or this year it was announced that he joined Netflix, his production company. So that means, okay, now we got to wait even longer for this. Now there was talk about him doing a song with Lady Gaga. I believe during the Egypt Station. Yeah. During the Egypt Station sessions. And we have to, I think we have to believe that, that would be for this film.
Now, High in the Clouds dates back to about, what, 2005 as a book,
2004
right?
or 5, I think, yeah.
Right, as a book, right?
First book. It was his first book.
It was the first book. That was my kind of only memory of that. So now it would be a film partnered with Netflix. So, you know, again, that's, who knows when that's coming. I mean, that could be years and years away.
Or, well, that's the thing, you know, but the thing is they've been in production since 2015. So you think some work has been done on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now that Netflix comes in, gives them, you know, a truck full of money, you know, now they can do it. Animation films do take a while.
They do, but look, it could have the fate of Bruce McMouse, where it sits around for 40 years.
It sits around. Yeah.
But it finally saw the light of day. I mean, I am sure that all these things that we're talking about tonight will come out. Whether, you know, we might be 60, but they'll come out. You know, at some point, I mean, you know that Paul's team is going to flesh out whatever they want to flesh out. If we know, if we know about it as fans, and who the hell are we, you know, it's going to come out. It's just, you know, where do they put it on their chain?
Right. So this will definitely take time. I don't think this has anything to do with COVID. I think they're probably on schedule. You know, obviously no release date has been announced yet, but the wheels are moving forward. So this, I think of the previous two things that we talked about, I think this has a possibility of being released sooner than later
because it's already been worked on for a longer period of time.
Talking
almost 7 years now. So
whereas with the Wonderful Life production, you got to think, imagine that's been shut down because of COVID.
Yeah, easily. And you wonder if this is going to be an animated thing. You said yes. So wonder if he brings his animated guy Jeff Dunbar.
Dunbar. Yeah, I mean he's talked about it before too. You know, working on this project. So of course, I mean he illustrated the book. You know, so it would only make sense that he's part of it.
He's be part of it too. And it's amazing how much Paul loves that animated stuff. He really does.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. So. All right, moving on here. Now, this was an interesting thing because when Paul was announced to do Glastonbury for 2020, the 50th anniversary, it was also then announced around the same time that there was going to be a career-spanning documentary on Paul McCartney that was going to, you know, end with that performance, you know, at Glastonbury. This documentary was supposed to be directed or is directed by Charlie Lightning. He's the good gentleman that directed the Liam Gallagher documentary As It Was. This was more than a decade in the making. He says he's been following McCartney for 12 years and I'm still working with him, not finished yet, but I'll be with him at Glastonbury. So he's helped me and with what I do and adore him. And he continued, he trusted me, and to have someone like that to see up close and work with, it's inspiring. It makes you better at what you are. It makes you know, want to be better. You know, so that's him just talking about his experience working with McCartney the last 12, 13 years. So the film will document Paul McCartney's time in the Beatles, his work with Wings, and his solo career.
Now that one didn't get as much traction as the other documentary, which we heard about late
right,
last
which
year.
We'll get to in a few minutes, because then, you know, you saw that with the Rick Rubin, Paul McCartney documentary, and this, that is obviously, I think, has to be something completely different.
But that one looks tremendous. This one, I don't remember hearing a whole lot about this documentary being made at all. Careers. So we're saying, like, it's Beatles and Solo, Wings, everything.
Correct. So, you know, who knows how long it is? Who knows?
That could be like Beatles anthology type length.
Exactly. And that would be my hope for this project.
Yeah, of course.
The Beatles anthology was eight, nine, 10 hours.
Eight hours, yeah. Eight VHS tapes, five DVDs. So I mean, do they truncate that Beatles period into like two discs or something, you know?
Right, exactly. Or yeah, because you can end up having it like the Living in the Material World documentary, the George Harrison one, where it's 4 hours long, but the first, you know, 2.5 hours is all, you know, all Beatles.
Yeah. When again, that's such a well done film too.
It is, but frustrating in a way, because, you know, they focus so much on the first half as the Beatle but he had a longer solo career than he did a Beatle career. You know what I'm saying?
True. But I think Marty kind of did him justice in terms of trying to play it both out. I mean, yes, he had a longer career as a solo, but lots of period of dormant activity with George.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, the 90s, he didn't really do anything. So what is he going to talk about? You're going to talk about his run from 70, then the 70s up until,
right,
you know, until about 79. And then the 80s, he kind of, between Gone Tropo and Cloud Nine, he didn't do that much. So I felt that was a balanced documentary. I know he was a solo career longer as a Beatle, right, but you got to look at it in terms of how can we make this as a saleable film?
Right. So then now with Paul,
Paul, that's a whole different game.
Right. I mean, how do you see this, something like this, being presented? I mean, obviously you can't have a 2-hour Paul McCartney documentary.
Here's the thing. Who are these films being made, and who are the audiences being targeted for this?
Is this
being targeted for national audience, what being broadcast on network television? If it is, it's going to be 2 hours tops. Maybe 90 minutes. And you know that's going to be 60 minutes of Beatles, 30 minutes of solo. If it is something more introspective and deep, that's going to get like a Netflix release or whatever, then maybe it might be something that's 3 or 4 hours long, like a No Direction Home, you know, right, like documentary, something that, so it all depends on what is the target audience? Where is this being marketed to? And we know that when we're talking Beatles, we're talking big sales. So we want to make it marketable for the average person, pun intended. So,
right,
you know, I hope that, you know, his team and Scott Roger, they have to know that there is a market out there of people like us who will watch a 5 or 6
right,
part DVD series and go get it.
Absolutely.
If it's given, I mean, go look at what our friend Breathless 345 on YouTube has done.
Right.
That guy has done some amazing documentaries, just pulling footage from everywhere. So if he can do that, and he's Joe
right,
Schmo, come on, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the guy, it sounds like the guy has access to Paul's vaults and has been able to get to all of these, you know, the videos, you know, hopefully, and, you know, stories from Paul, obviously. So, you know, it sounds like a lot of care is being put into this. And yeah, my hope is absolutely that we get something that's, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours long, you know,
and then scale it down for a more commercial release if you want
right,
to.
You can do that. Absolutely. You can do that. Kind of like the anthology was. The anthology was scaled down.
Honestly, the initial release was only truncated. It was only 6 hours on over three
right,
nights on TV. Now,
right,
and then we got if they wanted to do that, I would be fine with that. Give us a 2-hour thing, and then release a 6-hour set. What would just having fun with this? What would you call this documentary?
Oh, you know, no idea at the moment. No idea.
But I mean, something.
Maybe I'm amazed.
something so career spanning to cover
right,
his Beatle period. And 50 plus
London
years.
And Winding Road, because, you know, it's kind of like because of, you know, I know that's what, isn't
that's,
that what,
that's
what,
he, that's what
Aspinall wanted at first, you know?
Well, no, that's what Paul wanted too.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely been a long and winding road for sure.
I think that something like that would be such a massive undertaking. And then, of course, he then runs the risk of, if when he covers the Beatles period, is it going to be too Paul slanted, you know? And he may, right. You know, how do I do justice in a Paul McCartney anthology style documentary and do justice to the Beatles period without being, you know, all Paul all the time.
Oh, right. Right.
So that's a very slippery slope that he's going to want to navigate when the producers of this film, you know, put this together.
I think, you know, it'll definitely like kind of tip their toes in there a little bit of his avant-garde, you know, how he's the man in London, man about town, you know, and doing all these crazy things in, you know, in London and
The Bachelor.
Bachelor. Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a lot of aspects of his life that during the Beatle years, which would, you know, kind of be interesting.
It would. You worry, does it come out and then people again criticize him for historical revisionism?
Right. You know? Yeah, understood.
Okay. You're at the end of you're in your twilight years, you're 80 years old, and you right. really want to kind of just, you're still trying to tell people that this is what you were, which I right. have no problem with because fact and history prove him right. So with all this stuff. So I have no problem with that because he was the one doing all this stuff, you know? And
well,
you know,
yeah, but history's also shown that his memory is not as great as, you know, you know, obviously, you know, you can't remember that the medley on Red Rose Speedway, you know, Speedway, you know.
Was all he had one. Oh, it was the first right. medley for the one on right. Egypt Station. Yeah.
No, memory was full.
You right. know, oh, that was the first medley ever. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But anyways, but yeah, it should be interesting. It should be fascinating to see how this turns out, and hopefully you won't be disappointed. But if you're following somebody for 12 years, it's got to be a very lengthy film project.
You would think. Yeah. You would think. You know, there's so much. I mean, you've got this, and again, there. You know, within the last 20 years, you had the Maisels film, The Love We Make, that right. snuck out there, which is kind of a low budget release. So,
right.
you know, there's been no span of documenting Paul over the last 20 years, really. That's anything, true. But right. a career spanning one is one that we all look forward to.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's just hope that it does see the light of day, even though the Glastonbury thing might not happen.
Yeah, obviously.
Right. So, okay. So then speaking of Glastonbury and touring, okay. So we all know his tour of 2020, you know, from my understanding, it was canceled, meaning people got their money back. Whereas a lot of these tours over the last year were getting postponed, you know, meaning that you couldn't get your money back and you're in the mercy of when
the
people feel comfortable, you know, putting on shows again. You know right. what I mean?
So we don't know. So it was canceled. So people got their money back or they didn't?
From my understanding, so if your show gets canceled, you get your money back. If the show gets postponed, it's a lot harder. Like, it's a lot harder to get your money back.
Like Elton didn't give money back. He said, hold your tickets right. and they'll be honored.
Right, right. Yeah, because he'll make up those dates. I mean, a lot of money has been pumped into that tour. Same with like the Kiss, their last tour. You know what I mean? So I mean, a lot of the money has been poured into these dates. So you know, I would imagine they would wanna they would lose money if they didn't fulfill these
yeah.
dates.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how much. I mean, what the 2020 tour was booked, right? It was yeah. for him.
May June. I mean, but
It was a European tour of 2020, right. which was never going right. to come here, right? But right.
Is do you want to see him tour again? You know, do you want to see him tour at 80?
I think we've seen him tour for the final time. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think it's going to happen. I really hope I'm wrong, but I think that ship has sailed, and that sucks. But I mean, would you go see him at 80?
Yeah, I'd go see him at 80. However, I would prefer if he didn't tour again.
You would prefer if he didn't?
Yeah, I would prefer if he just stopped touring altogether. And who knows with this documentary ending with the Glastonbury show, whether or not he had it in his mind that could have been his last show.
Or you know or I mean? do something else, like stop playing to the 75,000 people in a stadium like tour. Right. Do something in a theater of like 2,000 people.
It'll never happen.
scaled down. You know, all the Springsteen's done this. Dylan's done this. You know, they've say, look, I'm not going out doing my hits, like just like almost like in a Kisses on the Bottom type style, like just sing like in that mature way. Like, I think there is an avenue for him to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
To continue on rocking out to like Helter Skelter and stuff now, I don't think makes sense. Do something that's very small, like go to the Beacon Theater in New York City of 3,000 people and do a small scale sound show. You're right. It probably will never happen, but you know, cause he's just, he has that one track mind of a live performing artist, and that's what he's doing. But
right. Because we got, you know, excuse me, obviously we got Ringo who postponed his tour again. So that makes 2 years now. So now he's pushed it to 2022,
which a lot of artists have done now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's, you know, acts like Rage Against the Machine, you know, things like that. I mean, they were supposed to.
Genesis even did it too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it makes sense, I guess, to push it to 2022, make sure, you know, people feel more safe. I don't know how Live Nation and these other businesses are going to, you know, bring back these shows and make people feel safe at these shows, I guess. I don't know.
So, you know, talking about the shows now, post-pandemic, I had this idea the other day. What do you think, how come if, say, I don't care what it is, Elton John's band, Paul, why couldn't they get together as a band, okay, and go to an arena, okay, with maybe not that many people in it, and just stream that performance and charge people to watch it. You're telling me if Paul and the band didn't do a show right now in L.A. or New York at the Garden, you and I wouldn't pay $100 to watch that show?
Oh, no, probably would. I mean, Kiss did it on New Year's Eve, you know, and they had a very successful pay-per-view type thing.
Kiss did it? Did you watch it?
No, I didn't watch it because I'm more of an original lineup guy.
So this is a thing that bands have done. But why couldn't like the Eltons and the McCartneys and the Dylans do this?
No, it makes sense.
They can perform and keep their voices in check. You know, no, but I get
but
it.
Then and, again, you still have a lot of money in these tours invested in. These
and you
tours.
Know this because this is what you do. So they're
and plus you're looking at a lot of people out of jobs right now. You know what I mean? So in the touring community, you know, whether the drivers, the
riggers, all
exactly,
those people.
Yeah, exactly, all those people, the caterers. So why not, you know, honor these tours and continue to, you know, let people work.
And then again, if you play at a big arena, you know, and there's nobody in it, you know, the arena is they're gonna want their cut. And if there's nobody in the building,
the price of the show will reflect that. You know what I mean? They'll, you know, you'll have a small chunk in that price, that $100 price tag that's going to go to like Madison Square Garden or something like that. Right. You know what I mean?
I think it would be awesome if like Billy Joel and all these people could just do that. Just perform and just let us watch
once a week, once a month or something like that. Have a big name act, you know, do a pay-per-view show. You know, how cool would it be? I mean, I'm sure you would love to see The Who do like a pay-per-view show.
Yeah.
Next week, McCartney does one, you know, Elton,
forget it. We would be lining up and sitting on our couches and happily paying to watch these guys do a live show.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So it sucks. And maybe that'll happen, but hopefully they just get back to playing real shows sooner than that. So,
yeah, I mean, that would be dope. I mean, I love it. I don't know. I'm obviously you love going to concerts. I mean, I love going to concerts.
It's good. 20 a year is my average. And I'm, you know, I haven't done that. So, you know, so what do we do if we can't go to concerts? I'm gonna buy more records.
Right. So you don't think those dates will be made up then?
No. No, I don't.
Okay. Interesting.
I
think if it was a state tour, I think he would be
more inclined.
More inclined to, yeah, absolutely. The money in Europe is not as significant
plus
as it is in here. Europe
seems to be much more high prevalent with the spread and everything else, and the lockdowns, as we know, as our friends in the UK, things are crazy there. Things here in the States seem to be opening up a little bit more. So maybe if it was the States, as Tom mentioned, it maybe he would have been more.
He'd be more inclined to postpone rather than cancel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting.
Sucks.
Yeah, absolutely. So this Paul McCartney, Rick Rubin then documentary that we finally saw the trailer for. It's a 6-part. Again, this is kind of like a musical journey, McCartney's musical journey. You know, we saw a bunch of Beatles songs being played.
Oh, that was cool. That was awesome.
However, we only got to see one McCartney, Live and Let Die, one McCartney and Wings song. During the trailer. So you got to, you know, ask yourself, you know, how far into McCartney's career are they going to dive? You know, are they just going to focus on the big hits, you know, the most well-known songs, you know?
To me, that sounded much more of a Beatles focused documentary.
Because we've seen stuff like this before with the Angelic and the anthology, you know, they're playing behind the console, you know, they're playing with the knobs, you know, doing the isolated vocals and isolated guitar, and you know what I'm saying?
Right, but let's just have Paul's, like Paul's songs. Right. Let's hear that Paul songs doing that. You know? Well, this is how we did this. Switch.
Right.
Yeah, that's what we want to hear. Yeah. And see.
Right. So I don't think there was an actual release date yet on this.
No.
However, we it's been announced. There's a trailer for it. So this is looking more likely to happen, hopefully this year at some point.
Yeah. And again, is it done? Is it done?
Right.
They've got their targeted release schedule, whatever. Obviously, you know, Get Back is the number one, you know, focal point for all of them, obviously. Get that out of the way. And then maybe these other film projects that we've talked about, High in the Clouds, the Glastonbury one, this, you know, maybe that's get back out of the way.
Right.
And then we'll see what's what, maybe.
And you just brought up a good point. So now here we go, the Get Back, which also now involves McCartney. You know, you can't have this without McCartney's involvement. So it just seems like there's so much, because we know we got the second granddad book, we got the McCartney lyrics book coming, we've got the McCartney 3 Reimagined coming, you know, Ram Half Speed Master coming. Is it possible for there to be to flood the market with McCartney?
Yes. And this is my opinion, but I think it's pure record company greed, because they realized way too late that there was a market for this stuff. And that they knew that the physical media format was diminishing. So they knew that people like you and I and everybody else out there watching this would snap up all this stuff in a time frame. Look at the releases from, let's say, just from 1990 on. Beatles, Lennon, McCartney. Well, you got the anthology. That was like the big release for the 1990. Right. You had Live at the BBC, and that was in the anthology. But then that was pretty much it. Couple years later, you get Yellow Submarine Song Track, and then one, and then it was it's spaced out, okay? And then it's like 2000, you know, it's like basically after 2009, 10, and or even later, really, starting with the archive series, and then it just became pretty scheduled, pretty frequent. And then really in the last 5 years,
it's just been a massive flood.
Really, since the really beginning with Pepper in 17, it's been nonstop. And I think that these are things, and you want to cap on the 50th anniversary of things, fine, but these box sets of the Wings stuff, that could have came out 20 years ago.
Yeah.
We all know it. when the media did, when the format was much more alive, and you could have gotten much more, you could have sold more. Now you're in a streaming society and you're pushing out these niche products, and you're commanding top dollar for them, which we're paying for them. But I think if the supply and demand, if this would have been 20 years ago, you would have done much better. You would have done more sales.
True.
I think so. Do I think that the market's being flooded? Yes, I do. And that's just purely greed, purely soul on greed. My opinion. Yours?
Well, yeah, I do think you can flood. I think there can be too much McCartney, because then you also got the Beatle thing connection as well. You know what I mean? So it's just not one thing. It's two camps
because who's buying just the Beatle stuff and not the McCartney stuff? Now, there might be people that are fans that are just like that, but most people that are buying the McCartney stuff are buying the Beatles stuff.
So now there's some people out there that have to pick and choose, you know, which one they're going to get, which one's their the best bang for their buck. You know what I mean? So it's, you don't necessarily have people like you and I that are always just going to get this stuff on release day. You know what? Some people actually, you know, have to, you know, pick and choose and wait, you know?
Right. And that's unfair to them, but it's I personally feel that it's been overkill with everything. Yeah. And you know, the vinyl, the 75 freaking different CDs, it's too much. Well,
I mean, I would imagine though, a lot of people thought that this archives series for Paul McCartney's archive series would be moving a lot faster. You know what I mean? We're 12 years in, and you know, we've only got what, 10, 11, you know, of his,
20.
Yeah.
I mean, no, but 25. we knew that, I think we both felt that wasn't going to stop at a certain point. Like, I think Flaming Pie, in my opinion, that's the end game of the archive. Right. I don't think it goes past that. So if we use that, and that's just my opinion, if we use that as our end point and go back, it's kind of almost done.
Right. We still have four releases, but you still had a couple of year gaps in between some of these where, you know, you could have, you know, every year you could have done two releases, you know what I mean? Instead of one, because one year we only had the Wings over America.
The one year we had Ram.
Right. And then, you know, and then Band on the Run, you know, open. We could have had two releases then, you know. Exactly. These wheels could have been moving a lot quicker with this.
The years where he pumped out the back to back together, like McCartney, right. McCartney 2, Venus and Mars, Speed of Sound, right. Tug of War, and Pipes of Peace. Those were done well because they were affordable.
Right.
The books, the archive books were $50 or $60 now.
Right.
And they were out now that they're not right. anymore.
And but. if Off the Ground was going to be done, it should have came out with Flowers in the Dirt or Flaming Pie. Take your pick. Right.
I could see Flaming Pie deserving of that standalone treatment and maybe.
Yeah, true.
Bucketing, you know, bracketing right. Off the Ground and Flowers there because it wasn't the same band essentially,
right?
Minus the drummers, but
what a perfect opportunity for them to do something, you know, with Flowers and Dirt and Off the Ground, kind of like they did with Wildlife and Red Rose Speedway.
Great point.
You know, perfect opportunity for that, and then had that big mega deluxe box with live stuff
with the live stuff of that 89 to 93 period.
Absolutely, yeah.
Good point. Good point there.
So,
yeah, it seems like it's kind of ebbed and floated. It started out with a bang. You got Band on the Run. You got McCartney. You got McCartney 2 and then Ram all in the first 2 years from 2010 to 2012. Then 13 was Wings Over America. 14 was Venus and Mars and Speed of Sound. 15, there was not 15. No, 15 was Tug of War and
Pipes of Peace.
16 was nothing because 16.
Nothing, right. 17, then we got Pierre McCartney for 16.
16 was right. Pierre McCartney, and then right. Well, and Hope for the Future was 14 too. But yeah, right there. 17, it picked back up again with Flowers.
Right.
End of 18, the Wings right. Live, and then 19, right. 19, nothing.
Right. Right.
So we've had what, 2 years of no
two
releases?
2 years of no releases where they could have done London Town, Back to the Egg. We could have been at Press to Play and Broad Street.
So theoretically, we could have been done with the 70s and the 80s.
And the 80s.
And
the 90s.
And the 90s.
Right.
So really almost be done, right, in a way?
Absolutely, unless they plan on continuing this series,
which I do hope. Do you want them to go past Flaming Pie?
I want them to do everything. Yeah, I want all, like, I mean, there's still a lot of stuff out there that's not on CD. I mean, the Chaos and Creation stuff, bonus tracks, like I Want to Fly.
Well, they're on CD.
Are they?
Yeah, they're on CD. They're on
Did
CD.
Did I miss that?
Because I have it right here.
you got that. Yep, there you go. Yep.
So.
No, it's the single, though. The single. That's right. The single, right? Yeah. Okay. Right. So that's how they're on the CD. I kind of want it on a big deluxe set.
All the tracks together.
All the tracks. Yeah. Right.
Which is fair. I mean, you know, to do that, maybe I could see Chaos being in there. But I mean, if you're gonna do one, I could see your point in doing all of them. I could. And if they're gonna do all of them, then do all of them.
Right.
You know. So it's it seems frustrating for us because we're super collectors, but it seems like it's been slow. But just going through the year, there's only been 2 years where we didn't get anything. And even the years we didn't get archive stuff, we got stuff.
Yeah, we got stuff from the other camps. Absolutely.
No, but we got like Bjorn McCartney in 16.
Yeah, true.
And then 19, we got all the extra, we got all the incarnations of Egypt Station and the Explorers Edition vinyl. So it's not like, you know, the year went by where no McCartney product has been out there. It's just we as collectors, we want this stuff and we wanted it yesterday.
So let me ask you this then, with the books and the reimagined, are we going to see any kind of other release from McCartney this year?
2021? I mean,
what do you? I don't see an archive being released now that we're
not this year. Not with
the lyrics book.
Not with coming off the heels of Flaming Pie and all the McCartney 3 stuff. I can't see. I mean, it's April now. I mean, maybe by Christmas time something comes. But then again, I mean, he could drop the wings. You know, the 78.
But then do you see a McCartney 3 deluxe set?
I don't see that happening. I can't see that happening. I mean, you know, not after the blitz he went on with all the stuff. But then again, he might.
Yeah.
I won't be buying it. unless there's new bonus tracks.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking, because we don't know. We don't know how much, how much stuff he worked on during Rockdown.
Right. If there's new material, the all bets are off. We'll get it.
Right.
But if it's just, you know, fancy schmancy packaging and the same stuff, no.
Right. Yeah. And that kind of gets me to thinking, okay, if he's doing this reimagined, why waste time when he can release a deluxe version of McCartney 3 if there was more material out there to release?
Yeah, he's probably just, he wants to use these other musicians to remain hip. You know, that's in his subconscious, you know, got to remain hip. So yeah, in a nutshell, do we think the market's been flooded? I think we both feel that it has been.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's just so much out there with him the last 10 years.
It just seems like, as somebody who's been collecting Paul McCartney for 30 years almost,
right,
it just seems like we waited and we waited and we waited and we waited and we waited for 20 years, and all of a sudden, in the last five, who's on first? Who's on second?
Right.
This version, that version, archive, double LP vinyl, Explorers Edition vinyl, suitcase, this box, Uber box. It's like, it's been like madness for five years.
Then plus you throw in the touring too, you know, the costs of getting a ticket to see McCartney live as well. I mean, we're making a lot of money.
I know we're complaining here and bitching, but we're making the choices to buy these things. Nobody's forcing us to do it. We buy it because we want to buy it. And if we didn't, we wouldn't, because we're collectors. So Tom and I do. So that's why. I mean, but we're just expressing frustration at how it's all been sandwiched into a small period of time.
Mm.
That, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So interesting stuff. But yeah, hopefully we'll see the light of day of some of these projects that seem to be on the shelf now. But yeah, I mean, see, that's the thing too. So, you know, we got the Get Back, so hopefully coming out, during the summertime
in theaters, right? Or no,
right.
In
theaters. Right. That's the plan. and then, so when do we get the McCartney Rubin documentary? You know, do we get that then in the fourth quarter? You know what I mean?
And how do all the two estates and the two Beatles map out what they're all doing? Like, we know that All Things Must Pass box is coming. So do the estates talk to each other and pull up Ringo's people and say, look, okay, we don't want to oversaturate the market here. Here's how we're thinking. Like, okay, John had given me some truth for his birthday, and now we've got the Plastic Ono Band box coming. So then they'll probably we're going to have Get Back. And then later in the year, or maybe before that, I mean, All Things Must Pass boxes.
Right.
That's rumored for June, which would be before Get Back. So,
right.
How do the four camps, you know, do they put
five camps really?
Well, yeah, five camps. But do the four camps then, you know, for the good of the order, say, let's focus, let's get the Beatles stuff out there and then worry about our own stuff? Or has it been so much time has passed where they're like, well, no, I want this, you know?
Right. Well, you figure then with the COVID thing, you know, kind of ruining Get Back, then it's kind of almost like a free for all where, you know, people are then now free to release things whenever they would want to release them, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, I know theaters are opening back up again, but I know they wanted to do a whole red carpet thing with Get Back.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And I don't know if that's going to happen now.
Yeah. No, I mean, possibly. I mean, I can see them doing it, and then maybe a small amount of people doing a red carpet type thing. You know, well, if you're in a mega, if you're in a theater that holds a couple hundred people, you can easily get like, you know, say 75, 100 people,
easy.
You know what I mean?
Easy.
And still do like a big event type red carpet kind of thing.
You know? Easily. Now let me ask you there, Tom Agnotti, when it comes out in theaters, if it's a playing by you in Arizona, are you going?
I'm going. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Good.
If I got to wear a mask, I'll wear a stinking mask, you know, and, you know, but yeah, I mean, this project is definitely made for seeing it in the theaters.
Oh, well, listen, with Peter Jackson's hands on it, you know, yeah, that's, you got to go see that in the theaters, you know.
And I would imagine the work that Giles Martin did off with the music, you're going to want that big theater sound, that surround sound. It's going to be great.
You know, and if that little 4-minute teaser trailer that we got a few months ago is any indication, this is going to just blow our minds. So, and it needs to be seen in a theater. And again, if we have to wear a mask, we'll wear a mask. And I know the easy answer is to just drop it on Disney Plus and just release it. But
that is the easy answer. Right. But then again, I would imagine so much time, effort, and monies have been put into this project that they're going to want to get as much back in return for this venture. You know what I mean?
Right. They want box office.
Yeah, exactly.
They want box office. I mean, I'll go see it 2 and 3 times as long as I can, and we're allowed to. I'll go see it multiple times in the theater.
Oh, I plan on it. I mean, if it's as good as I'm hoping
when that comes out, should we go live, or because it's Beatles, we can't tap into it?
We probably wouldn't go live. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we'll have to
instant reaction.
There you go. We'll try to get it to where we go at around the same time. You know what I mean?
You know, it could be like some of those podcasters that like do a show on their way back from the theater.
Back there you go.
You know. All right, we're in our cars and we're connected.
Right,
on
we
Zoom.
Just saw it. Yeah,
we just saw it. Here's what we think. We should try to do that if we can.
Absolutely, why not? Let's give it a shot.
Sure.
Let's give it a shot. Cool. So, all right. So, excuse me. So, these are the projects that, you know, hopefully we'll see the light of day soon.
This is the hope of deliverance. We've been asking.
Hope of deliverance. Absolutely. So, Andy, what do you got going on, my friend? What's before we close it out here?
Busy, and managing our YouTube channel and promoting our stuff all over there, and doing well. 566, I think, is our last count of subscribers. So, yeah. Enjoying that. We've had most people for the most part be good. We've had a couple of clowns that we've had to bounce, but other than that, it's been good. And ranking the tracks has been great. So thank you, everybody out there, for comments, positive and negative. And I wanted to mention that I will be doing an offshoot.
Well, do you want to do that now, or do you want to do that next week when the person is going to be on with the show?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
edit. No edit. I'm not editing that.
Yeah, don't worry about that. But by the time this is out, we will have ranked a driving rain.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Thriving, right. Thriving pain, as your co-host calls it.
Yeah, that's true. And then what do we got next after that? We've got Chaos and Creation then.
Chaos.
Following this episode right here that you're watching right now.
Yeah.
Please be on the lookout for that. That should be Wednesday night as well. Just depends.
Subject to change.
Everything is subject to change. Absolutely.
I'll tell you what, chaos will be a tough one to rank. That's going to be hard.
Yeah. I mean, actually, driving rain was a little tough for me too, to be honest with you. Because there are a bunch of songs that I like kind of equally on there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean,
But is this another case where the middle was the middle and then the
right. Yeah,
like
exactly.
the middle were decent songs and then the really
Right.
like and then crap, right? Pretty
True.
much. Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, absolutely. So thank you everybody for watching. Like Andy said, thank you for all your comments. Please make sure you leave the comments in the comment section. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already. Yeah, we're trying to get to that that magic number of 1,000, and then we'll probably do a big 1,000
Oh,
subscriber contest. But yeah, go ahead.
Podbean. Also, let me give a shout out for the downloads that we hit.
Oh yeah, 50,000. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you everybody for all the audio outlets. Thank you for listening to us on whatever audio outlet you listen to us in. Thank you for joining us, for the people that have been with us since the beginning, for the people that are just joining us now. We really appreciate you guys being here for this journey of our love for Macca. And obviously, if you guys are listening, you love McCartney just as much as we do. So good on you for that. As they say. So Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Two Legs Podcast. Email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on our website, twolegspodcast.com.
Yep.
And you'll find our Twitter, you'll find all of our YouTube shows on there as well. So check that out. You can also email us from there as well.
And the audio shows
Yeah,
are
and
there as
the audio
well.
shows on the yes. So everything is there at your disposal. And everybody, thank you again. We can't thank you enough. So we really appreciate you guys being here with us. So as I say all the time, everybody out there, have a great day and a beautiful night. Take care.
Hey, everybody out there.
You've been listening to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols, with musical contributions by Dylan C.